This is TN Praveen Kumar.
This is Pastor Taylor Shippey.
Hey, this is Pastor Blake Wilkes.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Chiz Marsh.
Scott Jones here.
Welcome to Mission in 5, the podcast where we ask a handful of questions to ministry practitioners to learn more about who they are and where they see God moving in their community. I am your host, Greg Mamula. Now, we have an exciting set of episodes coming up for the spring of 2024. Instead of interviewing individuals, I would like to invite you to journey with our American Baptist Churches of Nebraska's Lenten series titled Facing Jerusalem. Each week, we will introduce you to a few American Baptist pastors from our region to discuss a biblical text from the Gospel of Luke as we journey together with Jesus from Samaria to Galilee to Jerusalem. We will walk together through Holy Week, the crucifixion, and into the hope of Resurrection Sunday and the appearances after. We will read through the passages of Scripture for the upcoming Sunday and discuss the insights gained by reading, praying, and studying together. We will also share ideas on how we might preach this text to our local churches. Be sure to check out the show notes for links for our shared reading plan and resources to help you plan your way through the Lenten season. Now, every week through my work with the Churches Helping Churches, American Baptist Churches of Nebraska, I am always amazed at the many and varied ways that God works in our individual communities and when multiple churches network together for mission and ministry. That conversation has always been the purpose of this podcast. Our hope for this special series is to see how we might continue to share in our mission and ministry together as we participate in God's mission in Nebraska. Welcome back to our American Baptist Churches of Nebraska Facing Jerusalem or Journeying to Jerusalem podcast series. We have with us a full cadre of pastors from across American Baptist Churches of Nebraska. Some of us are even traveling, and that's kind of cool. So let's hear who all is joining us today on the podcast and where you're at today.
This is TN Praveen Kumar. I'm the pastor of Benson Baptist Church. I'm here right next to the church in the parsonage in Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Chiz Marshall. I'm from First Baptist Lincoln and one of the associate regional ministers. And I'm joining you today from Nags Head, North Carolina.
Hey, this is Pastor Blake Wilkes from Arthur Baptist Church, located in Arthur, Nebraska, and also with ABC Nebraska as well.
Scott Jones here, pastor at United Faith Community Church in Valley, Nebraska, and located right here at the church in Valley.
This is Pastor Taylor Shippey here in Gibbon Baptist Church at Gibbon, Nebraska.
And I'm Greg Manuela, the executive minister for ABC Nebraska, and I am recording today from my parents' house in Jonesboro, Arkansas, visiting them for a few days. Tien, would you open us up with a word of prayer? And we'll jump into today's text, which is Luke 17, 11 through 19. This is for the Sunday of March 3rd.
This is a prayer from Revised Common Lectionary. Would you pray with me? God of covenant, God of the living, faithful and loving God. And the glory to the cross of the cross, your Son embraced the power of death and broke its hold over your people. In this time of repentance, draw us all, O Lord, to yourself. Draw us closer to you as we read your word and ponder on it, meditate on it. Draw us all close to you more than ever before. This time, this day, and every day, draw your people to you, O Lord. That whoever confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, may you put aside the deeds of death and accept the life of your kingdom. Gracious Lord, we invite you into this space of technology. Yet we are apart, you draw us closer with your Spirit. Speak to us. Teach us. Guide us. And lead us. We ask and we pray in the mighty and precious name, in Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen.
Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went there, and they went, and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And when he said this to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
So here we are, we're chapter 17. Last week we were in chapter 13, so we've moved a good way forwards in the narrative. Jesus has been telling parables, he's been at a lot of tables, and here he is journeying even closer to Jerusalem. And when chapter 17, verse 11 begins, he's entered the borderlands between Galilee and Samaria on his way, and he encounters these 10 lepers. What were some of your insights, thoughts on this text?
One kind of consistent theme that I read and saw throughout the reading was this idea of Jesus continuing to break down barriers. So barriers to discipleship, the religious and social barriers that not only Samaritans had, but also lepers and, you know, their disease that made them unclean. That's why they had to call out. And it reminded me that Lent is the season of breaking down our barriers of what separates us from God, the barriers to, you know, being charitable people and fasting and seeking the Lord and kind of breaking down those barriers of apathy and injustice and those kinds of things. So that's something that I've been thinking about as I prepare my sermon is, you know, this is kind of like a gotcha moment in a way that these people were healed. We don't know if they were all Samaritans or what was going on. They were living in a community. And then one comes back and then we find out this big reveal. It was a Samaritan. And Jesus kind of emphasized that. And he says, has the only one that's come back is this foreigner. So that's been something that's been really interesting to me and kind of playing on the loop in my head.
I find it so interesting. The first passage that we preached on, the Samaritans objected to Jesus and his disciples, that they didn't give a shelter to him, they didn't welcome him. But now we see that they turned and they fell on his feet and they thanked him after seeing a wonderful miracle that he has done to this leper. That makes it so interesting that how God would turn our ways when we see what he does in our lives. We repent and we just turn towards him and thank him in the times and when we see his wonders and his miracles. and it's just so fascinating how the aspect of repentance is highlighted here in this passage, turning their ways and thanking and praising God.
I'm just captivated because I think this is a familiar story. I didn't pick up until recently that Jesus doesn't immediately heal them. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." But right in that moment, they're not healed. It's only when they're on the way do they finally get healed. So in my mind, I'm picturing that it's kind of like the story with Naaman and the Jordan River, where Elisha says, "You got to go bathe in the Jordan River, and then you'll be cleansed of your leprosy." It's this very similar story. And Naaman, of course, objects, and he thinks this is a ridiculous proposition, right? That why would I go heal myself or get healed in this smelly, dirty river? But it took faith for him to go and cleanse. You know, he had to dunk himself 7 times. In a similar way, I wonder that if the 10 lepers were to laugh at Jesus and go, "What are you talking about? Because if I were to go show myself to the priest, I would be breaking every single law about cleanliness by approaching him and going into the city, because everyone's supposed to have social distancing from me, but if they obeyed what Jesus said, they would be cleansed. And I have to, in my mind, I picture them walking together and slowly each one of them looking at each other, realizing that their leprosy, whatever it was, slowly disappears as they're on the way to be pronounced cleansed by the Levites and the priest. I don't know, it's just a very interesting thing, because whenever I heard it when I was a little kid, I always thought right then and there where they were healed, but there's a faith response to it. They have to respond to what Jesus said, and in that journey and in that process, they receive the cleansing that they asked Jesus for.
Yeah, it reminds me of this idea of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. It's not something Baptists are really comfortable with, but this idea of being made new, being made whole, I think is really interesting, Taylor.
That's exactly what's running in my mind. You're spot on.
The question is, do all of them get made whole? That's the question. Mm-hmm. So all 10 of them are healed, but only one of them comes back. And that's when Jesus pronounces over the guy, rise, your faith has made you well, or that's the Greek word sozo, right, which is saved. The question is, and this is the thing that you can disagree with me on the interpretation, all 10 are healed, but only one of them is actually made whole. And he didn't realize it when he asked for it, but he got more than he ever dreamed of. And the question is, what was the difference? Gratitude. That's the difference. And he received something that the other nine just are never going to get. But the question is, did the other nine disobey Jesus? They did exactly what Jesus said to do, but only one of them had the chutzpah and the gumption and the grit to go, someone healed me. And I need to thank that someone who healed me. And it was just that one guy. And it happened to be a Samaritan, which is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, Taylor, that's where I was heading with it. I think it's really cool that the one, he came back to Jesus. And I don't understand why he came back. I think it's all about he's thankful. But what's curious, what's interesting is Jesus gives the identity, who he is at the end. He was a Samaritan. And it makes me think about this again, all throughout Jesus' ministry, it's this upside down kingdom. It's the people that we least expect. And here it's the Samaritan who you wouldn't even expect. Samaritan Jews didn't get along. And the Samaritan realizes this and he comes back and he's so thankful that he gets healed. And it just makes us think, all right, who's our outcast? The outcast that we kind of don't associate with, it's those people who actually get it. And who one day, at Jesus' feet, at the table, we may see those people. It just made me think about that.
Yeah, one of the commentators, Stephanie Buchanan Crowder, she kind of summarized this idea. She said, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die, showing that the kingdom of God is for all people. His missions is for all persons of all races, cultures, and geographical backgrounds.
Aren't we quick to judge too? We're thinking, oh, those people, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. It's easy for us to quickly judge. And like you just said, Joy, kingdom of God is for all, and how we need to be welcoming to all. That's what Jesus did.
And the thing that I liked is that total healing that this one receives. And as I was thinking about that, it's a lot of stuff, right? Because if you're a social outcast, you can't, you can't engage with society. So there's like a isolation problem, right? And we've learned anything in COVID is that being isolated is not healthy. And the only other people you're allowed to associate with are other sick people, right? So you kind of get this lens of the world where, the only people I'm allowed to be around are other sick people, not well people. And then there's the idea of just kind of the physical and religious healing. If they're going to go to the temple, then they'll be made whole, then they can contribute back to society. So it's like this whole kind of healing. But then you've got the one who recognizes the healer. And instead of going to the temple, either Gerizim or Jerusalem, because he's Samaritan, right? He goes back to Jesus, the author of such the healing. So instead of worshiping in a temple, he worships at Jesus's feet. And Jesus later goes on to talk about, tear down this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And so that source of worship, right? The woman at the well, you'll neither worship here nor in Jerusalem, right? It's this idea, Jesus is what we worship. And that's kind of a kind of cool thing here. So I thought that was a cool kind of pattern, is that there's a total healing. They recognize the healing. They recognize the healer. And then they worship appropriately. That's part of the journey with this person, I think.
I love that this story is a beautiful fulfilling of Jesus's hometown sermon in Luke 4, when he stands up to read the scroll. It's the scroll of Isaiah 61, and it's, I came to heal the brokenhearted, or proclaim release to the captive, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's essentially what Jesus is doing here for these 10 lepers. And at 2 years ago, at our pastor's fall retreat at Camp Moses Merrill, you can find more information about Camp Moses Merrill online. We have summer camp coming up in June, so quick plug, like, subscribe. And J.R. Briggs was talking about the meaning of sozo and how it doesn't just mean to save, to liberate, but also to heal. And this kind of all-encompassing of Jesus' ministry, it's happening to the person we least expect it, to a foreigner. This term's only used one time here in the New Testament. And it's suggestion, as Joel Green says, it's basically in a label for someone born into the wrong family. So this is like a beautiful picture of the year of the Lord's favor to someone that's born on the wrong side of tracks, the tracks, or someone that we discount. It's this ultimate fulfillment of Jesus' ministry as he's still heading to Jerusalem to literally be put to death.
Going off of that same thing, do you guys, Joy and Greg, do you remember what that, because he talked about that area of tension, J.R. Briggs, and that area between, a Venn diagram or something like that, where that almond shape is. Do you guys remember what that's called?
Oh man, I wish I could.
I can't. I know it's
the middle part.
Yeah, the middle part. You know,
overlapping
right?
Almond of the.
Yeah, the all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me Google. It's just interesting that it's like this area of tension that's where a lot of things happen, and here we're seeing that in this passage. You know, this overlap of you have the unclean clean. You have the Samaritan Jew. And all that going on. And then even with like the geographical reference, right? Where is he at? He's in the borderland. He's in the in-between, you know, the in-between Samaria and Galilee, these areas of tension. And that's where we see this happening, you know? And so it's kind of just jogging my memory of from that pastor's retreat of, you know, are we seeking that area of tension and that area of in-between, you know? Because that's where a lot of times Jesus does most of his work in our lives, is entering into that area of tension. But it just made me think of that.
I also like how Luke emphasizes the soteriological truth. It says in New American Commentary, Luke warned his readers that one can experience God's work of grace and yet fall short of receiving salvation. This emphasis on grace being like the work, we can experience grace. One of my friends said, like, hey, I see grace of God as like, it rains for everybody, not just you, not just on your house alone. So God's grace is generous sometimes, but it is only few who will be saved. It also points to the passage that we read last week over Luke 13, that the door is narrow and we have a gatekeeper, and that's Jesus. It reminds me of that.
I was just thinking the same thing, Tian, how last week's passage from Luke 13, that word for striving, that competition, that agonize, right? That you know, that salvation's offered to all, but there is a discipleship process of working it out. And so healing was given to all 10, but discipleship was the response of one. He strived enough to come back, fall at the feet of Jesus, and do that work. And that's when you receive the full benefits of the kingdom by worshiping Jesus. I think that's a way to connect those two passages.
And
way is narrow, and only 10%, 90% experience Jesus's healing, only 10%, you know, if we were to put it in odds. And maybe that's a good reminder for us today.
Yes. And then, like, what comes to mind is last week's passage, where it's like a lot of people who you thought would be there ain't going to be there.
Right.
And, you know, your job is to strive. And the example we have is this Samaritan striving to do that.
I found a very clever book during Christmas break. It's about how stories are shaped and formed. And one of the things it really used, like Tolkien kind of as an example for all of that. But in all the kind of mythology stories, there's a borderland between what's sort of normal and non-magical, and then what is rather magical and mysterious, right? And a lot of fantasy has that kind of thing. And like Narnia, you go through the closet to get, you know, to the place of magic. And, you know, anyway, this kind of borderlands exist. And when you read that first verse, that he's on the border between Samaria and Galilee, it made me think of that idea is just, you know, you can choose to embrace, I don't want to equate it with magic, but, you know, you're on the borderland between the kingdom of heaven and earth, right? And you can choose to participate in the kingdom, or you could stay in the safe, known, kind of sad parts of the earth, right? And 10 experience, see, witness the kingdom, but only one comes back to fully embrace that kingdom as it overlaps with heaven and earth on this borderland. I don't know if that's helpful or too mystical, but it didn't.
No, it reminds me of thin places that we've talked about a lot. Yeah. You know, the Celtic understanding that there's these thin places where heaven meets earth. And I think that that's a beautiful representation. If we could think about this thin place is not actually in Jerusalem at the temple, but it's somewhere in between Galilee and Samaria.
And wherever it is where Jesus is at, right?
Yes.
I think I shared this part last Sunday. The gospel is universally available, but not universally accepted. And it just reminds me also of people of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Sometimes I think, okay, they wandered. Maybe some stayed and made camps and made it small town and just settled, and only few traveled and persevered till the end of promised land. Correct me if I'm wrong. Sometimes, like I'm, it makes me feel like we persevere and then sometimes we drop out at some point. And as Paul says, I fought the good fight, I kept my faith in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I finished my race, and that's the good race that we are running. It's not like a race to win, but race to see the Lord, to enter the promised land, to enter eternity. So just a thought.
It reminds me of the cheesy story of the footprints in the sand. You know, this idea that God is with us even if we're having trouble on the race, or if we have a Charlie horse or a cramp, and like the faith community is supposed to be there to go with you. Like, that's our goal as a community of faith, is to then help you continue on.
All right. Any kind of summary wrap-up ideas from this conversation, or any last points?
Yeah, just one quick. It just makes me really think about how many times that we miss Jesus's blessings in our own lives, and we don't give the gratitude back. Like, we don't give thanks back. There's so many I can just think about. You know, we get so excited that, you know, we've been praying for something to happen, and maybe miraculously God answers our prayers, and we forget to say thank you, or as this one goes back, just a reminder for us all.
Yeah, I was in the same boat as Scott, because I just think there's so many miracles that we can miss because we're just not We're not looking for them, and we're not also have that grateful heart. I think if we were just to pause and just ponder, when Jesus touches our lives, it's more than just healing our leprosy. And as we've already kind of alluded to, it's the inclusion and in, back into the community. It's the ability to be in God's presence again, because now I'm purified and no longer unclean. It's all these other aspects that this guy experienced. What about for ourselves? As we go about our lives, maybe we need to take stock of all the little miracles that God has so graciously given to us. And maybe we would discover how blessed we actually are. This is not denying the world that we're in and the chaos that happens. But how many miracles do we just simply just don't see because we just don't pause, like Scott's talking about, to recognize that and be grateful to God for it?
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing with this. We are excited of the many sharing of pulpits that will continue to happen this coming Sunday. Pastor Joy Martinez Marshall will be traveling to Gibbon to preach at Gibbon Baptist Church, and Pastor Taylor Shippey is going to welcome her there. Scott Jones is coming home. He's going to go back to Benson Baptist Church and preach there for the first time since he was on staff there many years ago. And so that's going to be a kind of exciting family reunion. So thanks, Pastor Tien, for doing that. Continue to pray for Pastor Blake to get well and his whole family to get well. They've been suffering with some cold and flu symptoms. And then I will be at First Baptist Church in Lincoln, and we'll all be preaching this same passage. So a lived dynamic of churches helping churches as we go to each other's congregations to support and encourage one another. Scott, can you close us in a prayer real quick?
Father God, as we just thank you so much just for who you are, Father, we thank you that we all can gather together by Zoom and just dive into your word. Father, as we move into this Sunday's service and messages, Lord, that you just pray, that you just, your Holy Spirit would just fill us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you are present. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Mission in 5. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so that you will be notified every time we produce a new episode for this special Lenten series. Please take a moment to rate and review the podcast on your favorite streaming platform and share it with your friends and family and your larger social media network. Check out the show notes for information on our Lenten series, including all the texts from Luke, a few resources, and contact information for our guest pastors and their congregations. Feel free to support us by giving through Tithely on our abcnebraska.com website. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.